Exodus chapter 20. If you'll get to Exodus 20, and then look at, keep your finger there at Exodus 20, and then turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I start the message out with a question. Is what I'm about to do biblical? And so now that I've got you all nervous, if you got any sense, you'd be nervous. If you know me, you'd be nervous. Is what I'm about to do biblical? It absolutely is, because the two verses that we're going to read to you, if you will, supports what I'm about to do. I did this a few years ago, but in light of my experience and what just went on and praying about today's service, I couldn't get away from what was done last Saturday. I wanted to share it with you, and we're not. This is not a service, quote unquote, about how good a person Betty Kingston is, as much as Betty Kingston, by God's grace, has applied biblical standards throughout her life, and I highlighted those last Saturday. I want to highlight those today, and I want to encourage us all to do our best to live by those biblical standards, because they're good for anybody and everybody, especially a parent. And most young people in this congregation hope to be, I would imagine, parents someday. You're going to need these also. And if you don't plan to be a parent, these are good things for just a human being, I promise you. So this is very much so a tribute to my mom. Would you stand in reading reverence of God's holy word? First of all, we have here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. This, of course, is the Ten Commandments. We've already talked about our neighbors, Jerry and Nancy Graves. I've said several times that you want somebody as a neighbor that believes in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. I want my neighbors to believe that. Thou shalt not steal. I want them to believe that. And just go right down the line. Thou shalt have no false witness. You won't lie. You won't covet my wife. So on and so forth. You want your neighbor to believe those things. Well, this is also one of the Ten Commandments here in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth to thee. Now turn to Ephesians. I've got mine marked here. Ephesians chapter 6. It says in verse 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I saw the Lord do the same thing in first service. And even though there was a different twist to the second service, it absolutely still lines up with what we're talking about. These things that we're going to be sharing that mom strived to do in her life, and I know that all of you are striving to do as well. Today's going to be an encouragement to keep up the good work. If you find an experience or a situation, maybe a point where it's not so much an encouragement but a correction, you know, let it do its thing. Just know that I didn't have you in mind when I did this type thing. That's the Holy Spirit working. I always remember, and I go back to my sister-in-law coming out one Sunday night. This is Denise, sister-in-law, all of about 98 pounds. She stands on my big toe. She literally put all her weight on my big toe. And when she got off, I said, what was that for? She said, well, you stepped on mine. Sometimes that is the job of the preacher. But again, you need to see it as not coming from the preacher. It's coming from the Lord. And let it do its work. With all that said, last Saturday was an opportunity for me and my five to go down to Little Rock, Arkansas and pay tribute to my mother, to honor my mother. And we did that. And so let me stick to my notes, or this is going to be a wonderful series. So, first of all, I am eternally grateful for a church that values family and allows her pastor to be gone when it is needed, and for enough vacay Sundays to do this and still have time for my own immediate family. I'm grateful for a preaching staff that is capable and eager to preach. Brother Tom, Todd, Brother Brad, many others. I heard nothing but good things from you about Tom. Now, you and I both know that if we have a good relationship with our parents, that is a blessing. Too many times in our world, it is the exception and not the rule. However, even if my experience was not what it is, I would still be expected by God to honor His Scripture and do my best to honor my parents in any area that I could. I related because I know some of you have had the exact opposite of experience that I've had. You've had a very difficult raising, if you will. You have very difficult parents, whatever the case may be. And I've got nothing but patience and grace and mercy for that. But I want to share with you a story that I shared in the first service that I really do believe will work. And I really do believe it's what you are doing to manage the situation that you have. And that is that there's got to be something that you can say, thank you. There was a CEO that went to a particular seminar way back in the day that I had gone to, and the person leading the seminar shared his story. I've shared with you this piece of paper that I've got about 30 to 40 character traits, and they're wonderful Christian, positive character traits that we all want to have, honesty, you know, and things, just character. And he was challenged to hold a monthly meeting at his workplace with his employees and to pick an employee each month and pick a character trait and praise them for that. They saw every measurable statistic go up when he started doing that. They started being more punctual to work. They started working longer. They started working harder. His bottom line started going up. Their pay started going up. And I mean, it just was a wonderful situation. But there was one worker that there was no fireable offense, but if they would ever find one, they would have fired him immediately because they did not like this person. This person was not a nice person. And he let it be known. And so he had praised everybody else in the workplace. And another meeting was coming. And he told the Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, look at your list. And he looked and he just scoured that list. No, 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 no. And then he came to punctuality. Punctuality is a character trait. It's a good character to have. I've struggled with it all my life. It's one of the reasons I'm okay with living within 20 yards of the church type thing. I'm punctual to here because I live right there type thing. Watch this. He thought, oh my goodness, this guy has never been late, never. He's always early. And he puts his 8 to 8.5 to 9 hours in. He's punctual. And so he got it ready. And he delivered a 15-minute expose of how valuable this worker was to that industry because of his punctuality. And before he started, everybody was kind of smirking and laughing. Well, what's he going to say about this guy? He's going to have to lie. But he didn't. And when he said it, everybody's like, you know what? That's right. And everything that he said was right. And at the end of that, after everybody patted him on the back, hey, thanks for being punctual. You're helping our industry, our business. He caught the CEO later and he said, you are the first person, and this is the first person, time, that anyone has ever said anything positive to me or about me. And he said that man's attitude changed. He became nice. And before you knew it, again, all the statistics started going up. Church, listen to me. You got to find something to praise. You got to. And with Mom, of course, that wasn't a difficult situation. For today, the emphasis will be on how we as parents can be challenged and to be the best parent we can be, and for those who are not parents, to prepare for that. As you guys know, we had a close encounter, and this is where my notes started. I didn't say all this other stuff, of course, to the 40 people that were there at Northview Baptist Church for my mom's party. As you guys know, we had a close encounter of the funeral kind about this time last year. That's a true story. January and February of last year, I was going back and forth to Little Rock, expecting possibly to prepare for my mother's funeral. I am thrilled now, instead of coming to an ICU or a nursing home, we are in Mom's church celebrating her 80th birthday. And of course, as you know, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to stick to my notes so this doesn't turn into a series. I'm going to resist the urge of a lot of humor and concentrate on the amazing woman my mother is. I have 10 amazing attributes of my mother. And I know any time a preacher says more than three, you guys immediately become depressed. I realize that. But I guarantee you we're going to stay within the time restraints of today. Now, the first one is not something that Mom had control over. And the first one is something that we need to all understand is not something that you and I should flatter other people about. Watch this. Flattery is when you tell something or praise someone over something they had no control over. And there's a trap in flattery. Because when you and I put our significance and security in something we have no control over, when it's taken away, and it can be, what happens to our significance and security? And so Mom aged well. She never looked her age. She was always 20 years younger looking than what she actually was. And she got a lot of praise for that. Watch this. But I wasn't there that day to praise her for that. I was there that day to thank God for giving her that. Because watch this. Very few of us get that. Can I get a witness? So what do all of us other poor saps do? We realize, watch this, that even if we don't age well physically, our attitude can age well. Our wisdom can age well. Our patience should age well. And amen rings. Yeah. Those are things that we all have control over. Our maturity should age well. But I wanted to give props to where props belong. Mom, God gave Mom some genetic abilities that some of us do not possess. And I praised God for that. Second, this is something she definitely, and the rest of the stuff, she has absolute control over. She received instructions and obeyed her parents apparently, based on the scripture that we just read. So this, of course, is in response to the verse that says you'll be given a long life if you obey your parents. In anybody's book today, 80 years, I think, would be considered a long life. And no, the Bible is not saying every person that is old obeyed their parents, as much as it is a general blessing to a general statement. And I happen to know that my mom did obey her parents, and God honored his promise to her. And as parents, we can look forward to a long life if we obeyed our parents. How you doing? Some of you are praying for crop failure, and I understand that. And kids, you know, some of you, you need to be a little worried, you know, type thing. You need to obey your parents. It's extremely important. Watch this. If you and I cannot receive instruction and grow, we're in trouble. We're in big time trouble. And my mother did that. Now, there's more to say about that particular issue here in just a moment. Number three, she loved her children equally. This is a difficult one. Not so much to do, but to explain. We had a spinster couple, and what's that? This is my understanding of a spinster couple. These was two sisters that never got married. They were holy. They loved each other. They loved their church. They loved their God. But they lived together in a holy setting, two sisters. They never married. And so the word spinster was never meant as a knock against them. It's just who and what they were. Watch this. They loved us. Those two women could cook out of this world. And so two young parents with three young children, we went there a lot. And they fed us a lot. They had garden. Goldfish ponds. It was an amazing setting. Their brother had just recently died, but all three of them lived together, and they ran this farm in Russell, Arkansas. But there was one little problem with this couple. They wanted to know, who did Tony, Barry, and Ben love the most out of their parents? And they asked us every week. We didn't know that they were asking Mom and Dad, which one of your kids do you love the most? Now, this would have been okay if it would have happened one time. It happened every week. Every week. to the point of distraction. So finally, us three got together and said, how do we get these ladies to quit asking us which parent do we love? Because we didn't know what to say. We may have had our opinions, but we didn't want them to be heard. And so we went to our parents, and our parents set us down and said, number one, thank you for coming to us with this very difficult question. Number two, please don't treat these ladies with anything but love and respect, because they told us their story, and oh my goodness, these were wonderful, wonderful women. But they said, this is what we've been telling those ladies for weeks. We don't love any of our children more than the other. We do love them in different ways. We just looked at my mom and dad like they were king and queen of the universe. That's a pretty good answer. Can we borrow? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we all three started saying, we don't love our mom and dad any more than one or the other, but we love them in different ways. And you know what the ladies, they figured out? They figured out, okay, these guys have gotten together and come up with an answer, and we're not going to get any other answers, so they quit asking us. Watch this. It wasn't a ploy. It was the truth. Parents, you're not going to love your kids in the same ways, but you must love them equally. And you can, here it is, this will change your life if you'll get a hold of it. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Well, you don't know my kid, Brother Ben. I get it. I get you don't know mine either, so trust me. We understand that love is a choice. Love's not based on how good your kid obeys you. Love is based on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Love is a choice. And Jesus died for you while you were still dead in your trespasses and sins. Love is a choice. I think I was up to number three, number four. She would speak her mind and then accept what was. Now, if you know Betty Kingston, you know that she will speak her mind. You're not going to have to guess if mom's comfortable in the setting. She's going to tell you. It's cold. It's too warm. Whatever the case, she's going to tell you. It's okay. But what she doesn't do is go behind your back and stab you. What she doesn't do is keep complaining, so on and so forth. Church, this is something to live by. It's okay to share where you're at. Just don't do it in a hateful, in a murmuring way. Don't do it in a gossiping way and the such. And watch this. As a general rule, if you're not asked, keep your opinion to yourself. And my mother has just about bit through her tongue on many, many times because she wanted to share an opinion, but she wasn't asked. Guess who got to hear it? And I'd counsel her. Let that go, Mom. Move on. And she would. Church, listen, it's okay to share your opinion. But this whole thing of, well, I told them off, that's not spiritual. And it's not scriptural. You must win a hearing. Now, please, I think it's been a long time since I've done this, so let's just go ahead and do it. If you've got an issue or a problem, I'm begging you, come talk to me. Let's work it out. Let's get through it. And I hope every one of you feel the same way. If anyone in this church has an issue with you, you should want them to come talk to you. Amen? Not let it build to the point that they tell you off. We don't want that to happen. Remember, church, lovingly, no emotional blow-ups. Let's work through those issues. She would speak her mind but accept what was. She used her talents for God. Church, mom is a wonderful piano player. And she used those talents for God. She could teach young people to sing. She used those talents for God. She could teach Sunday school. She used those talents for God. And we could go right down the list, but this is what mom did not do. She didn't do everything that anyone else in the church wouldn't do. The pastor nor the pastor's wife is expected to be the super Christian. Every one of us in here are on the same level at the cross. Every one of us in here should be willing to shoulder the load of the gospel that this church has. And my mom would do that. She would do her part. But if she ever found herself becoming wearing every hat, she would say, no, no, no. There's plenty of wonderful, God-blessed, talented women in this church that can do those things. But she used her talents for God. She cherished her husband. I've shared this story before, but it impacts me somewhat the most. Standing on that porch over there when we were living in that house, I took a call from my mom 4 years after Dad died, and she was absolutely still, 4 years later, grief-filled. stricken. She was in bed still, 10 o'clock in the morning, grief stricken, 4 years after Dad's death. You know why? She cherished him. She loved him with everything she had. Now, Mom and Dad had a really, really good relationship. Humor alert, so get ready. Dad absolutely adored the ground that Mom walked on. Mom tolerated Dad. And that's a joke. But my point is that Dad was convinced that he had the better end of the deal. Every man should feel that way. Because all of you are, you got that situation going. I've seen your wives. I've seen you. You married up. Hallelujah. Praise. You outpunted your coverage, to use a Super Bowl, you know. And praise God. I'm trying to remember. You may have to just trust me on this, but it goes a little bit like this. And I better not because I can't. My memory's not serving. If it comes to me, I promise I'll tell it to you. But it's a wonderful little axiom about a man and a wife sharing their opinion about each other. But anyway, sitting in the car, the station wagon at Sears and Roebuck, waiting for Mom to get picked up. Dad is in the front seat, of course, in the driver's seat, and he sees this man walk out. And I remember watching my eye watch Dad's eye, and for some reason, he was watching this man walk all the way across to his car. So I looked at the guy and I went, ooh. And so when Mom came in shortly thereafter, Dad looked at Betty and said, Betty, you know what? I have felt sorry and bad for you all these years. And she looks at him and goes, well, why, Dwayne? Because I've always felt like I was the ugliest man on earth. But I just saw a man walk out that makes me look pretty good. You ain't got it so bad. And of course, you know, Dwayne. You know, and she cherished him. So on that porch, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, this is 4 years in. And church, hear me. If you've heard me preach on grief, you know this is a sugar stick of mine. Don't let anybody tell you how long you can grieve. That's between you and God. Don't let anybody tell you, well, you need to get over it. You need to get you a new friend, in my humble opinion. With that said, I asked God, we're 4 years into this. Give me something to say to my mom. And this is what I said. Mom, you are paying in pain for a tremendous, wonderful marriage. You wouldn't be paying this if you didn't have the best marriage that you could have. Now, would you rather be regretting all of the ways you treated him and he treated you? Absolutely not. I know that, Mom. So this is the payment, the painful payment. And watch this, it doesn't last forever. We're 12 years in now, and she's having some good days. She's having some good weeks. She's having some good months. And if God gives her enough life, she'll have some good years without Dwayne. It's just how it works. But church, she cherished her husband. And I'm talking to people that you still have your husband or wife. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit is working on us to be all that we can be. When I first started comparing, and that's always a dangerous thing, I started comparing our relationships, and I would think, me and Dawn do not have what Mom and Dad has. And do you know why? We had been married 5 years. They had been married 25. It takes time, church. It takes time for your marriage to percolate. It takes time for you and her, or you and him, to get where you need to get, to absolutely enjoying to its fullest. And it will come if you'll work towards it. Can I get a witness? It'll come if you will work towards it. Taught love in the kitchen. I'm almost done. She taught love in the kitchen. Mom can cook. And so when I would come into the kitchen, I had to ask permission. But when I would come into the kitchen, she would say, sure, get an apron, because I knew what that meant. I was fixing to work. I was going to cut up a chicken. My mom got married not knowing how to cut up a chicken. The 7-year sailor had to teach Mom how to cut up a chicken. Now, I know that in this day that you can buy all legs, you can buy all wings, you can buy all breasts, you can buy skinless, boneless breasts, you can buy bone-in breasts. You don't need to know how to cut up a chicken. I know that. But shame on you if you don't know. But anyway, she taught love in the kitchen. I got absolutely just poured upon love from my mother because I spent time with her in the kitchen. Parents, include your kids in what you do. Include your kids in what you do. And watch this, get involved in what they do. Get involved in what they do. Next to last, three to last, she had unfaltering faith. She had unfaltering faith. She was going to serve God no matter what. She loved her church. She absolutely loves her church. She will fight for her church in a right way. She will speak out for her church. She will invite people to her church. Lastly, she puts God's kingdom over her own. Now, you need to know something. How are we doing on time? We're almost done. You need to know this about my mom. My mom is very possessive, and she very much, I'm not going to say this is a good thing, but early on, she found significance and security in her three boys. So much so that when one lady came up to her and she says, "Well, you know what they say about boys?" And Betty's like, "What?" "Well, if you have a girl, you have her for life. But if you have a boy, you only have him till he gets married." And boy, mom got fighting mad. And she got that look, and she went, "Not my boys, because I'm going to make them so dependent upon me, they won't ever want to leave." And we grew up not knowing how to do nothing, because she did everything for us. True story. 3 weeks into moving up here, I had to go back home because I only had 3 weeks worth of clothes. Mom washed all my clothes. I came back. 3 weeks later, I had to go back. And on the second time, mom's like, "Okay, son, this is my bad. You got to learn how to do your own clothes." And that's where I learned how to go to the laundromat and do all that. And it wasn't too long after going to the laundromat, I bought me a washer and dryer. You know how that goes. And I can get clothes clean. I'm not still going to say that I can do clothes, but I can get clothes clean enough that it's okay at Walmart type thing. But my mom was absolutely determined to make us dependent upon her. So when January the 13th, 1988 came, and I had been called to be the youth director and music director of this church, it was time to leave. The worst ice storm in Arkansas's history at that time. I got in my 1976 Pontiac Le Mans rear-wheel drive car, and I left. Now, many of you know this story, what I'm fixing to say. Mom was crying. Dad was smiling. True story. I have it still in my mind. Mom's there doing this. Dad's like. And I set out. For 10 to 15 years, you know what Mom's regular question was? "Are there not any churches in Arkansas that you could pastor?" "Mom, yes, there's churches in Arkansas that I could pastor. There's just none that I could pastor with God's will." "Okay." And now, 30 some odd years later, you know what she says? "I'm so glad that God called you to Lonedale. I'm so glad that God is using you in one of the finest churches that I know." This is her speaking. I know, Mom. You would love for me to find a church in Arkansas. Only if it's God's will. "Okay, Mom. But I don't rifle through the Baptist trumpet to see the churches that are hiring." Amen. Now, let's bring this right absolutely to home. There are four questions I want to ask you. I did this for first service just to encourage them. So let's go ahead and stand. Musicians, will you come? I went on to share with that group of 40 people how appreciative and grateful I was of their support of my mom's church. We all need a support group, church. Every person in here needs a support group. The only way for you and I to have a support group is that we support others and we allow them to support us. It means you've got to be willing to change on occasion, and that means you've got to be willing to take your loved ones to task on occasion. It means you've got to continue to grow in Christ and not see any area in your life as finished or off limits. So in closing, Four questions. Are you serving with the talents that he has given you? Are you cherishing your family and friends above earthly things? Are you passing these spiritual disciplines on to your children? And are you placing God's kingdom above all others? Father, we ask you to do your will and way in the services today. If there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we pray that they'll be saved, for it's everlasting too late. Father, I am grateful and thankful for Betty Kingston. I'm grateful and thankful for Bethel Baptist Church for how they allow me to take part in my mom's life. Father, I pray that you'll bring that 80-year-old experience together today to help us to evaluate where we're at, and that we will pass these four questions with flying colors. Lord, you know what the needs of this church are. You know the areas that we need people to put shoulder to the wheel. We pray that your Holy Spirit will lay that on people's hearts. Father, you know how we desperately, as a nation, we need to teach our children how to live for you. You know, with all these things that we talked about at the first of the service, the answer is you. You are the answer to what's going on in China. You're the answer to what's going on in Africa. And Father, you're going to use us to shine the light. I ask that you'll help us to be faithful today. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen. Will you come?